I'd like to welcome everybody out there that's on Facebook and YouTube tonight. I'm sorry you couldn't be here tonight. We know the circumstances that are keeping many of you away, but we wanted to bring you in because we've been worshiping our most holy God, understanding that the darkness that's out there is trying to destroy the church. And it's understanding that the light of Jesus Christ is here. He has come and He is coming again. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
And that's where we are. We are the body, the people of Christ. So today I want to remind us of why we're here. I want to share with each and every one of you the full Christmas story. I think it's amazing because a lot of people believe that the Christmas story begins in the book of Luke or in the Gospels. But I'm going to tell you right now, the Christmas story began all the way back at the fall of man. It actually began before that, if we believe the book of Revelation, which tells us, as I spoke earlier, that before the foundations of the earth, Jesus Christ crucified. But here we have God's word from Genesis. We read, "So the Lord God said to the serpent, 'Because you have done this,'" looking at the day of the fall, "'cursed are you above all the livestock and all the wild animals. You will crawl on your belly and you will eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head and you shall strike his heel.'" And from the prophets, as the men of old held to the truth of God, understanding that more was to come, Moses himself said that there is one who will come who will baptize you with fire. And we need to understand that one is Jesus Christ. And in the book of Isaiah, we read, "A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From its roots, a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of power, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, and he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes or decide by what he hears with his ears, but with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. With the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt and faithfulness the sash around his waist. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom. For those who were in distress in the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the future, he will honor Galilee of the Gentiles by the way of the sea along the Jordan. For the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as a people rejoice at the harvest, as men rejoice when dividing the plunder. For in the days of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. And he will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and call him Emmanuel. And in the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, to a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And the angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you are highly favored, the Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of God Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. How will this be? Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin. The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May it be to me as you have said. Then the angel left her. And this is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to marry Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, that the virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and he took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. For in those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that the census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth to Galilee, to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the peoples. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning him, what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying God and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. As we think of these things, we are overjoyed because we know that the Messiah has come. But I want you to remember that's not the end of the story. There's more to the story. And as we think about just where that story leads, It is a remembrance that each and every one of us must go to, because it is in this remembrance of the fullness of the Christmas story, because the Christmas story keeps giving. We oftentimes open a Christmas present once, and it's done, right? We may use it from time to time or get it out, but oftentimes, you know, I don't know about you, but I get those weird sweaters that seem to find their way to the bottom of my drawers, and they never see the light of day again. But the gift that God has given us keeps giving up front, out front, because there is so much more to come in each and every one of our lives. Because not only did the child come, but he grew up and grew into a man. And we know from John chapter 3, verse 16, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but will have eternal life. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. He who believes in him is not judged. He who does not believe has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the Holy Begotten Son of God. This is the judgment, that light has come into the world, and men love the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come into the light, for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But he who practices the truth comes into the light, so that his deeds may be manifested as having been wrought in God. Jesus Christ came to lay his life down. And before he left, he was speaking to his disciples, and he was telling them, trying to comfort their hearts, looking into what was coming. We know that there's going to be a marriage feast in heaven between us and the church. Amen? And I want you to remember these words, because this is part of the Christmas story. Remember, Jesus did not finish the full work of God yet. He finished the work of salvation, but the work is not done. The work of Jesus Christ is yet to come. He needs to bring his church, his bride, home with him. And this is what he says to us. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How do we know the way? And Jesus said unto him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. On that night, Jesus was telling us that he was getting ready to wed his bride, that he was going to his Father's house to prepare a place. I want you to understand something. When Jesus initiated communion, do you know what he did on that night? He gave the cup, a cup of wine, to a bunch of men seated in a room. When a bridegroom would go to take his bride, he would go to the father's house, the father of the bride. He would pay the dowry. The dowry is his blood shed on the cross of Calvary. Do you all understand that? But he would share a cup of wine, and he would make a pledge to his bride that I will not drink of this cup again until we drink of it in my Father's house. And is that not the promise that Jesus Christ made on that night when he gave communion to us all, that we would partake of the body broken and the blood poured out? That he himself would not partake of that cup until we all partook of it with him in heaven. And he is ready. The bridegroom is ready. He is simply waiting upon the Father to hear the fateful words. And when the Father finally releases him, the Lord Jesus Christ, with the last trumpet of the angel, with the archangel's voice, will call out from heaven, and the dead in Christ will rise, and then we who are left shall be called up with them in the air, and we will be ushered in to the banquet feast of the Lamb. And there we will become the bride of Jesus Christ. Is that a Christmas you're waiting for? I know it's one I can't wait to see. But we need to remember, it is the duty of the church. Christmas is not just for us. It is for the lost. It is for those who need to find their way. It is a light in the darkness. It is the hope, the peace, the joy, and the love of God filtered out into the light that is Christ in each and every one of our lives. But we must remember what Jesus is saying to us and hear ye his words. Behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to render to every man according to what he has done. For I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things. For the churches, I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright and morning star. Yes, I am come, and come quickly. Brothers and sisters, that day is closer now than it has ever been. And every Christmas it draws nigh. When we look around at what's taking place upon the church this night, we should not be disheartened. We should not look out and be downtrodden, because this is our time to shine. We know the darkness is going to raise up just as it was back in that day. And this is our day. This is our remembrance to move us forward. Remember, remember. Because if we don't remember, we will forget and we'll lose our purpose. Jesus Christ is that purpose. Tonight, I want you to think about where you are. What are you going to share tomorrow when you're with your family? What are you going to say to that weird Uncle John that everybody fears? I want you to say, God loves you. I'm glad you're here today. Because that's what people need to hear. Our world is tearing us apart. Christmas is the great unifier. Because God made a way where there seemed to be no way. And that way is Jesus Christ in you. The truth and the life. Live it. Hold to it. And hold to him. Would you join me in prayer this day? Father God, we come before you this Christmas night. And Lord, it truly is Christmas. For the sun has gone down, and in your holiness, it is in the evening that the day starts. So though we call it Christmas Eve, Lord, it is Christmas by your calendar, and we hold to that. I pray that people see that now, that your holiness begins when darkness comes, and it brings us all into the light of day. May our joy in you be full. May it be complete. And tomorrow, as we take this message of truth out into our world and use that truth in our own lives to transform us, may it also transform our family, our friends, and our world. For Lord God, the time is drawing short. But may we draw nigh unto thee, and may we be the Christ in Christmas. In your holy name, amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, You can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.